Welcome to the Drum History Podcast. I'm your host, Bart Vanderzee, and today I am very honored to be joined by David Frangioni, the publisher of Modern Drummer magazine. David, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Bart. Great to be here, everyone.
Oh, and it's as I said that, I was thinking you have a lot of different titles. I mean, you are an audio engineer, you work in studios, you're an author. You've got all sorts of cool stuff going on. You're a busy man.
Yes, you know, lot of things happening, and they all interconnect, even though it may not look like it at the surface. And I know that, you know, many of the things I do are full-time jobs for a lot of people, but I've found a way to combine all of, you know, these different passions that I have into a career, and it's, you know, it's amazing. Very, very blessed, very grateful.
Yeah, I think... It's probably across guitar and bass, but I think musicians are really good about making things work for them. Like if you like audio engineering and drumming, you can kind of put it together and find a way to make that work.
And they're hand in glove as well, right? Think about how much audio engineering comes into play to be a part of what you do. I mean, you're an engineer and a drummer, yep. So you know that those are very, very useful, powerful musical tools to have, you know, from a technology and audio engineering standpoint.
Yeah. And I think now more than ever, because we live in an era where you can't just say, oh, I'm an engineer. You can't just say, I'm a tracking engineer. I'm a mixing engineer. Hire me. You basically, I think for a lot of people, what makes them stick out is, oh, I'm also good in After Effects, or I'm also good with Photoshop. And it's like, ooh, you stand out. You have an extra little something. So it's, you know, as a drummer, it helps to know Ableton and to know Pro Tools. So,
well, I agree with that, Bart. And I'd like to expand, so that everybody can take away from this time we're spending together some really valuable things that they can apply to their own life.
Yeah.
And one right now, is you have to be a multitasker. When we talked a minute ago about all the different types of careers I have and all the different businesses, et cetera, it all stemmed from very early on, like literally before I was a teenager, I was starting to see playing in the music business at such a young age as a drummer, having, you know, very big aspirations. I was starting to see even that young, 11, 12, playing in clubs and playing in bands, that if you put all your eggs in one basket, it's not only very scary from making a living, but it's also very limiting to how far that you can take your goals, your art. So it's twofold. We got to be able to make a living to be pros in what we do. And in order to do that, you know, when a project comes along, you have to be ready and able to do it. I also believe you should be passionate about it. It shouldn't just be about having a career path to make money. It should be about finding career paths that you're really passionate about and that are really important to you, that you'd almost do for free if you could make a living otherwise, and that fulfill you. And then when you combine some of those, you know, you just really turn into a professional that has a lot to offer any project. So if you just look at the example of a drummer engineer, which, you know, if we go back to Dave Weckl, you know, to me, one of the greatest drummers ever, will always be absolutely one of the greatest drummers ever. And I followed his career from when he was in Bridgeport, Connecticut, commuting to New York City and starting to make noise in New York City with French Toast, and the whole way through. And in my point in doing, in following his career and understanding that is, he was always multitasking, even though he was one of the world's greatest drummers and becoming one at that time. He learned about electronics. He learned about sound. He learned about the studio and all of these different talents that he didn't just have an awareness of, but he actually worked on it and has expertise in them. That really took it to even another level. So now you have one of the world's greatest drummers, gets great sound, understands the studio, can collaborate with the team live or in the studio on, hey, you know, I think this week should do this or that to get a better drum sound. And it's just such a powerful combination to launch and have a career from. So that's what I, I'd like to really encourage everyone hearing us today, take a look at where you're at. If you're already doing two or three things, and you love what they are, you may still have a long way to go in terms of following the pursuit of them and growing your ability within them. But the point is that if you're good with what you're doing and where what the combination is, then from there, don't stop, grow, learn, put yourself in uncomfortable situations so you can really grow even faster. And if you don't do that, if you're someone right now listening to us and you're doing one thing, just beware that it's you're limiting yourself for no reason, and you're really in a position where you're not being conservative enough in a music-related business, or most businesses for that matter. If something should go sideways, or a project should come along that you need to be able to do one more thing to get, it'll be too late. So do it now. And I think that's really important. And I'll tell you guys a really interesting story. When I first started working with the band Aerosmith, which I've now been working with them since 1989, so it's about 31 years, I think. And when I first started, I was doing a lot of technology work. And I remember the guy saying to me, technology is really important to us. We have a lot of need for what you're doing, but we also need, other aspects of studio help. You'll engineer on this day, or, do this, work on the console this another day, or, fly samples another day, whatever. And I remember thinking to myself, and this was all like in a split second, because it was a real time conversation. I remember thinking to myself, I've got to push myself. Like, they were describing some things that I didn't have a lot of experience in at that time. Some of the things I was already very, very accomplished in, other things I was learning. And I made the call to like really jump in. It was scary as hell, because I'm working for my idols. At that time, it was the biggest gig that I had. I had some great credits prior to Aerosmith, but not long-term credits. They were just like, I went and worked with Elton John for a week, right? Then the project's over, and, that was that. But with Aerosmith, it was ongoing. So it was very, very scary to kind of look at this amazing group, heroes of mine, this opportunity. And it was amazing.
Yeah. I mean, everything you're saying is so true. And you get faced with those moments where you think, like, it just makes you like your heart drop. You're like, I don't know if I can do this. Like you, a new task comes. But I always think that's like a benchmark of like, after that you go, okay, well, it can't be as hard as that last, at that point, monumental task. So you really like, I just think everything builds up, like everything gets easier after you do those, your next mega thing that you're super nervous about, whatever it is, a big session that you're out of your element on, you're alone, you've always been an assistant, now you're doing it alone.
Right.
Everything's
right.
Easier after
those
that.
Growth moments.
Yes. Milestones, checkpoints. I mean, it's a huge thing. So everything
it
you're is. Saying is
and
so
you know
right.
What though, Bart, in the moment, the aftermath is what you're describing. It's huge. Yes. It's transformational. It's life changing, but in the moment it's no less scary.
No.
Right. And it's almost, there's almost an equation where the scarier it is, the bigger the outcome will be.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what you got to remember. And it's so much easier to say than do, but you got to do it. You can't just think it and say it. You got to do it. It's the only way you grow. We could use a million examples if we want to use a very simple one. I think everybody gets it at this point, but if we want to use a simple one, you go to the gym, you work your muscles and until you're sore, and then you stop, and then you recover. And the whole process, whether you realize it or not, is you're breaking your muscles down, and you're actually, you're working them in that way. It's the same thing in this case, where you're actually breaking your fear down.
Yeah, totally. I'm a big believer in, and I always think about this to myself. I'm like, man, if I started, let's just say, like, even, been playing the drums forever, but if I started playing guitar like 2 years ago, imagine where I would be at now. I would be 2 years deep. Like, no matter how old you are, if you start now, fast forward 2 years, you're going to be great. But if you don't start, then you'll be no further along. And that's obvious. But again, I always, even with exercise or whatever, you just got to start. So
well,
that's
you're absolutely our motivational. Right. And starting is so easy to talk about, but you know, there's a lot of people always have a reason and they don't even realize they have a reason. You know, I see a lot of people that come to me for advice and the things that I do is making a living is as a consultant. And so people hire me to, you know, give them guidance, advice, and on many different levels from many different views, usually around music, entertainment, and business, almost exclusively. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, the ideas are very similar where someone will come to me and I'll do a deep dive and really start to unfold like what's going on. And they won't even realize how they just let distractions rule and they don't even see the distractions as distractions, but they just get to the end of a day and they go, wow, you know, like I'm not anywhere. I haven't started anything. Maybe I put my little foot in the pond, you know, but for 5 minutes, but I really haven't done anything. And it's all these little distractions and all these little things that it's all fear, just holding people back. And it's disguised in many forms, but you know, you really, you know, starting is underrated. You know, you really have to get out there and start. So that's our advice. Now, you and I are really aligned on Modern Drummer, right? The number one drum magazine in the world that I had the privilege of becoming publisher and CEO of fairly recently. And it is the drumming Bible.
It is.
Established in 1977. And here we are in this moment. I hope this, you know, the stay home goes away soon and people can get back to work and be healthy and safe. But if people are listening to this, especially during a stay home moment, you know, we just got a lot to share and bring value to their lives with today. I'm very excited, Bart.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go way back. And I do want to mention too, before we go back and talk about the beginning of Modern Drummer, I saw you speak at the Chicago Drum Show last year when I think was very close to your, you know, coming on board and it was great. So I was very impressed.
It was really neat to see that. Thank you. Yes, I came on as publisher then and then recently added CEO to my role.
Well, congratulations. That's huge. I mean, like you said, it's the Bible for drummers. I mean, it is, and it's earned that. It's not like, it just sort of happened. I mean, it's been a long time. So, you're the man in charge now. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the history of the magazine going back into the 70s and how it started and as much as you can lay on us.
Well, Ron Spagnardi, God bless him. He and his wife, Isabel, started Modern Drummer Magazine. Ron had the idea, the early 70s, for years, he had this idea that he wanted to create a drum magazine where everybody could congregate in the drumming world. We didn't have anything like that.
Yeah.
And so on so many levels, it's so necessary. And he created it out of their basement, launched Modern Drummer. It was 1977 was the first issue. Buddy Rich, Volume 1, Number 1, of course, Buddy.
Of course.
how appropriate. And the magazine just took off, and it became and is today the top brand in what people know in the drumming world. Literally, it was a question on Jeopardy. You know, what magazine do drummers read? And Modern Drummer. You know, I mean, it's unbelievable. So it's really... It's really earned, as you said, its reputation as the number one drum brand in the world of what unifies and educates and informs and updates drummers. When someone is in Modern Drummer, a drummer is either on the cover or a feature, it's like winning an Academy Award. And, we're 43 years into Modern Drummer. You know, that's almost half a century. And that's... We are the only drumming resource that's completely neutral, that's been around that long, that is this trusted and has so many different tentacles to every issue that we publish, all of the digital that we curate, where it's unbiased and it's versatile. So in mm-hmm. one issue of Modern Drummer, you read about your favorite drummers or drummers that will become your favorite drummers, or you read about your peers. You read about what guys are up to. You read about the current and hottest gear. You read about the current and hottest products, and as well as, like, you know, CD streaming music that's out and video that's out.
Yeah.
Drummers online, percussionists, drum corps, jazz, rock, metal, Latin, you name it. And you get a lot of education, you know? Yeah. So there's a lot of exercises and a lot of really great insight. So one issue takes you weeks to really get through. We've priced it so that literally one trip to Starbucks and you have an entire month of Modern Drummer online, all 43 years in the archive, as well as the current issue. I mean, it's $6.95 a month for all access. We made it insanely affordable because we want to continue to grow and have all drummers be a part of this, because that's how the magazine's got to the point it's at now. Is the drumming community wants and needs and respects the fact that there is a voice for their community. There is one place that they can trust and that they know that what they see and what they learn is valid. You can't say that about any place else, especially the internet. There's a lot of theories and a lot of ideas out there, but what you get in Modern Drummer is the real deal. And if you were to go out on the internet, you would spend way more time than $7 a month, no matter who you are and what you're doing, to put together everything that we hand to a drummer in one issue. We go through the process of, okay, what's the newest gear? What are the newest releases? Who are the hottest drummers? Who are the drummers that are icons but are doing new things right now? Who's come onto the scene? Who's left the world and we need to acknowledge, who's, playing in the studio or about to do some cool gigs, who's releasing signature series product, and on and on and on. To curate that takes a team, one of the best teams in the world of seasoned pros at Modern Drummer, full-time work for us on a staff. So one person going out there and trying to do that on their own would be, a big waste of time, because we already do it for you and we do it really well. And I think that's how the magazine has got to the point where both in print and digital, it is still number one in the world by far. And the interesting thing is, when I was at NAMM recently, this was a fact that a lot of people were surprised about and then paused and realized, oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And that is, our print product is bigger than ever. Drummers love to hold Modern Drummer magazine.
Yeah.
You would think instinctively, because the newsprint world has become so commoditized and just the general infrastructure for obtaining print product, newsstands and bookstores and all of that are just going away as fast as you can blink. But Modern Drummer print is bigger than ever. It's amazing. Of course, most of those people are through subscriptions, right? So they don't have to. Why would you go to a newsstand when you virtually a buck, you can get it delivered to your house? And it's amazing. It's how strong that is. And when I was at NAMM and I was sharing that, at first, a lot of people were like, well, wow, that kind of bucks the trend. And then I would ask them, well, do you read Modern Drummer? Everybody said yes. Thank you. And then I asked, well, do you have your back issues or do you read it and throw it out? And I'm telling you, not one person said they throw the magazine out. And that was the aha moment. Like, wow, you know what? I do. I have a stack of Modern Drummers and I do use them as a resource and I do enjoy keeping them. Some people put the covers on their wall. Some people, take pictures of them. Some people use them for social media. I mean, there's so many incredible things you can do with it. Of course, holding a magazine and having the notation to be able to write on it and put it on a music stand or photocopy a page to use on a gig or in a practice room, it's endless. So
yeah, really.
It's really great how the magazine, its print product, and of course all the things we're doing on digital, because the magazine started its life strictly print in 1977. That's all there was.
Sure.
But Ron innovated a lot of things. You know, he innovated drum festivals. The Modern Drummer Festival was always a huge deal. We're going to bring those back.
Awesome. And that's huge.
Digital, we've revamped our entire digital world, where what we're covering and all of it for subscribers, right? What we're covering, what we're putting on our website, what we're putting, you know, through all of our different channels, it's just incredibly helpful and insightful to drummers.
Absolutely. So personally, I have a little like bin. Every year as a kid, you know, it would be a Christmas present. Here's your Modern Drummer subscription for this year. Here it is for this year. So I have years and years and years of them. And what I do is I take, like, if I'm going on a trip or something, I'll obviously have the new one that I've read, but I'll take an old one because I loved just looking back in, you know, 2001, in 2005, whenever, and just seeing what was happening then. And like you said, nothing is ever like out of date. Maybe the technology has changed, but even then, coming from my angle of the history of things, you can look at it and go, wow, that's changed a lot, or that technology, I didn't know that company existed then, or all these things. So, and another thing I think is cool is, I think in a lot of forms of media, people don't like advertising. They go, oh, you know, you're watching Hulu or whatever. It's like, here's another ad. I enjoy looking at the drum ads to see who's endorsing what. And I think that's a really rare thing with drumming. And it's even with the Modern Drummer podcast, where I like hearing who's like Dream Cymbals is always a sponsor. I like hearing that because it's our industry. It's like an industry magazine, which is what it is. So it's kind of cool to see, like, okay, Vinny's playing Paiste now. Whoa, cool. You know, it keeps you in the loop even on that level. So if you can have your advertising be something that I'm interested in, I just think that's huge, you know?
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. The fact is that the ads are as much of interest to drummers, like you described, as the content in the magazine is. They go hand in hand. Drummers love to see who's playing what. We love the creativity of the ads. I mean, think about how many ads are so iconic. You know, that Buddy Rich playing the tuba on the Zildjian ad, you know, from the 70s and 80s. If I couldn't play Zildjian, I'd switch instruments, and Buddy's sitting there with a tuba.
I love it. Yep.
Yeah, there's just so many iconic ads. And I'm, you know, I really, truly, I really, truly hope that comes back bigger and stronger than ever. And I hope that as the manufacturers, you know, have sea changes inside of their organizations, and younger people or different people come into their organizations who may not have the history to have seen those ads and know what we're talking about and how cool and impactful they are. I hope that catches up. And I hope that, you know, on all sides of it comes back in a modern way, right? We don't want to see the same ads from the 70s and 80s. Nobody thinks that, but the same emotion. A lot of companies really get what we're talking about, and then there's a few out there that really don't get it. They don't understand that when a drummer sees, you know, Mike Portnoy behind this amazing one-of-a-kind drum kit, and they see, you know, Tama, the strongest name in drums, and, you know, that has a huge impact. That if they don't see another ad, or they see another ad and it's just a picture of a drum kit, or it's a picture of a, you know, something is something really simple and basic and kind of gear like, there's no comparison in the emotion and what that's going to do to the drummer's decision.
Man, I've never thought about that. That is so true. Well, I mean, the endorsement in drumming is so important of, oh, I love that drummer. He plays DW. Now I want to grow up and buy a DW set. I remember seeing the drummer from System of a Down when I was like 13, and he was playing Thomas Star Classics. And then my first real kit that I bought was a Star Classic kit. So it just is like, we're impressionable. I mean, you know, because drummers come up, especially when you're 12 or 13.
Big time.
And we like gear. So
we do. And we love, and DW is a great, you know, just happens to be one of the best drums in the world, and
yeah.
what an incredible company. But you're right. They, you know, we drummers love this. We love seeing who's not only who, but how and what, and what modern drummers been focusing on, and we've ratcheted it up considerably during stay home right now, mm-hmm. is bringing content that's applicable to right now. So I'll give you an example. I'm personally doing a 15-day series, one a day for 15 days, that's basically like a minute or two long, and it's an exercise. Each day is a different exercise out of a really, really well-known book, either Master Studies or New Breed or Don Familaro's It's Your Move. And I'm focusing on a specific exercise or set of basic exercises where I demonstrate them. It's all video and notation-based. I tell you exactly what book we're working out of, what page. I show you the transcription on screen, and I play it and describe it. This is what you do. This is what it's supposed to sound like. And these are incredible chop builders that in 1 to 2 minutes, you can understand the exercise and then go practice it all day, as long as you want, whenever yeah. you have time or want to make time. And then the next day, there'll be something new for 15 days. And we're going to keep them up, of course, online so people can go back and do the 15 days or any one of the days whenever they want. But this is something so relevant and important to drummers right now, because it's going to have a huge benefit for them. Their playing is going to improve very quickly for the least amount of time and a zero investment. If they don't want to buy the book, they don't need to. I put exactly what they need on the screen, and there it is. And those are the kind of initiatives that we're really passionate about, because we want all things to all drummers to be available all the time. And of course, our subscribers are going to get incredible benefits because of how much we're curating the content and the print product and the proprietary digital products on our website that are only for subscribers, the VIP contests that we do for our subscribers, Give the Drummer Some VIP,
yeah.
you know, where you meet John Bon Jovi on a Mediterranean cruise, or you meet Alice Gonzalez from Manaa on stage at the LA Forum, and he hands you a snare drum and a cymbal. And then you watch the show from the front row. I mean,
amazing.
These are things you can't buy. And
no.
our subscribers can get them just for entering by being a subscriber for free. And we sponsor them. They're not underwritten. So it's really, you know, that's that world. But if you're not a subscriber, we still want to bring a lot of content and value to you. And so that's one of the things, like we're doing the 15-day stay home exercises. That's for everybody. It's free online, part of Modern Drummer. We're going to do with Mike Dawson and Michael Melenda, a digital editor. We're going to do some streaming famous drummer. They won't be live streams in the sense that they're literally live at that
yeah.
moment, but they're going to be premiered streaming events. It's just much better for drummers to have, to have an edited product for how we want to deliver it, and then we'll do Q&A's and that kind of thing. It
yeah.
works better for how we envision what we're doing than trying to do it live, and it's a little more limiting. And then that will stay online, you know, forever, and that will be free to everybody who's interested. So it's really this balance of, you know, if you're in the club, you know, you have this endless amount of content and value. And if you're not, then, you know, you still have an amazing amount of content and value where you can learn about things, learn how to play better for only the investment of time, which you need to put in anyway. And, yeah. And of course, you know, hear about what drummers and drums are up to right now. It's a pretty exciting time.
That is. I mean, so you guys are the Goliath in the drum world, obviously. So I think there's a lot of responsibility there on how to handle these times that are, you know, people are at home and giving them things to work on. So I think you're, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. And I think you're handling it well, of saying, this isn't a time to be like, whoa, man, dangle the carrot and be like, if you want this, you got to pay for it.
No, no, not at all. The opposite. This is what you're absolutely right, Bart. This is the time where we have to be all things to all people. There's going to be people that, you know, don't have a need for subscribing for whatever reason. And we still want to bring value. You know, it's about bringing value to drummers. And it's really almost like a better and best. If you want best, you subscribe. And with it comes all of these extra things. But if you just want better and is good enough for what your needs are, then you just go on our socials. And and they're free and they're amazing what we're delivering. So it's not about like trying to convince anybody to do anything or to spend money. No. It's about being a central resource for for drummers and drumming, all styles, all ages, all types, internationally, domestically, just every aspect of drumming we cover, and we do it for free, basically on our socials as kind of the better product, and then best to subscribe.
This episode is brought to you by Forks Drum Closet, Nashville's full-line drum store. Celebrating its 40th year in business, Forks is independently owned and operated in the heart of Music City. Specializing in drums and percussion, Forks offers great discounts on all major brands and will beat any retailer's advertised price. From new and used equipment, vintage drums, and marching and orchestral instruments, Forks has something for every drummer. They also offer professional rental, repair and restoration services, as well as drum lessons. Stop by their storefront at 308 Chestnut Street, Nashville, Tennessee. Call 615-383-8343 or go online at ForksDrumCloset.com. Yeah, and I don't think it should be glossed over, speaking of free, that I personally, and I know a lot of the people listening are huge fans of the Modern Drummer podcast, and I would definitely give them
Mike and Mike
credit for being a massive inspiration for me to even start this. I mean, I've heard every episode, and that's like 235 hours of it.
Love it. Thank you. Yeah, they're great. They're great. I mean, we love what they're doing. It's in a very specific niche, and they do such a great job. They're very passionate. Of course, they're incredibly talented. One of a kind, both those guys. And it's great. It's a great podcast. And we're going to be looking to do another podcast product that's totally different from what they're doing.
Cool.
In the near future, you know, so it's really about covering all the different bases because everybody has, you know, I don't want to do a bad drum pun and say different strokes for different folks. But the fact is that, you get it, like full stroke, half stroke. Anyway, the fact is that there's so many. The great thing about drumming and the drummer's world is that there's so many different lanes to it, and every one of them is a lifelong pursuit, and every one of them is incredibly fulfilling and brings a lot of joy to people's lives. There's people in drum corps that'll never play a bass drum with their foot, on a trap kit. And they couldn't be happier, and they'll be the rest of their life going up and down the field and loving it. When they get too old to hold the drum and do it themselves, they'll get out front and teach the next generation. They love drum corps. And you got guys that'll only play jazz, guys that only play metal, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so all of those types, we want to fill, their needs with everything they need. They need the relevant product reviews for what they're into. They need to know who the drummers and inspirations are for what they're into, what releases affect them that they want to check out and that will help them. Of course, all the education. So all of these placeholders actually have many different lanes within them. So it's endless amounts of content that we're producing for people because there's endless amounts of consumption that helps them.
Yeah. One thing that I have personally been working on with my show is I'll get messages from people saying, hey, I'd like to hear something about more like marching or more military drumming. And I did not come from that background. I came from playing in rock bands and doing studio stuff. So I need to like get out of my own what I like world and try and cater to people who I'm just beyond honored they're listening to the show and give them something that they want to hear. And I think obviously, Modern Drummer does a great job of that. So I kind of look at that as an inspiration of, okay, little bit of everything for everyone is what's best.
Well, thank you. You know, we absolutely, we try, you know, we definitely put a lot of emphasis on versatility, covering all the different bases, and really making sure that there's something for everyone, but with meat on the bone, you know, like not just a little, you know, nothing just for the sake of, you know, like a headline, you know, like, okay, this is for, you know, a percussionist, and this is for somebody who strictly plays orchestral, or no. This, if we're going there, we're going deep on it. We're giving you substance that really helps, you know, your goals and your life.
Yeah, and if people don't know from this conversation yet that it is a great magazine and people should absolutely check it out. And I want to switch gears now because we were talking before about the stay home sort of mindset. And if you're listening to this 10 years down the road, we are currently in the middle of the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic, where literally it's sweeping the world and people are forced to stay home. I mean, odds are you're listening to this in a couple weeks and you're right there with us and we're all together. But I do think there's one cool thing, and I've been talking with a friend in New Zealand, Andrew Rooney, who has the New Zealand Drummers Podcast, the NZ Drummers Podcast, and he's talking about the problems he's having as a drummer. I mean, he's literally halfway across the world. We are all in this together. I mean, we are all being affected. And even I do like video and audio freelance stuff. I have been wiped out as a freelancer, and I'm sure everyone is in the same boat with gigging. So, I think people would like to hear from you. We'll affectionately call you the boss because you're the boss of Modern Drummer. What do you say about all this? Like, what people are out of their gigs right now. Like, what's maybe give them some words of hope.
Well, here's the thing. You have to use this time to get real on a couple of different levels. The first is you have to take a look at what you're doing. This is one of those moments in time that will not only forever change the world at large, but will and should change our world, your world. And so in order to do that, you have to first take a look at what am I doing right now? Do I like what I'm doing? Because this is the time to change. You got, if you ever heard the saying, you got all the time in the world, this is literally you have all the time in the world. And you probably will, and let's hope, you never have this amount of time again in your lifetime. So this is the moment where you do have all the time in the world. And with that, the first step is get real. Do you like where you are? Do you like what you're doing? The answer is no. Find what you do like. Once you do that, and for the people whose answer is yes, the second step is you have to take right now to grow and improve consciously. Get online and take courses, refresh courses, new courses, practice, start your online business if that's part of what your passion is and that fits into your goals. If you're a drummer, get to the pad, get to the kit. And this is the time where you really explosively grow. And the people that come out of this with huge evolution are going to be the people that always look back at this moment and say, that was the moment that not only changed our lives, but changed my life. And I know this is heavy stuff, and it is, and it should be, and it needs to be, because that's what it is. Mm-hmm. And this, it's your life. It doesn't get any bigger or heavier than that. This doesn't have to overwhelm you. It just has to consume you in a manner that you really take it seriously and you take decisive action. So the decisive part is step one, where am I? And choosing where you want to go, right? So if it's where you are now, great. Step two is now I'm going to actually take the steps to improve, and I'm going to practice, and I'm really going to take it to the next level. And step three is get a mentor. Make sure you're not asking your boyfriend or girlfriend or mother or father how you sound or how you look or how your business is going, because chances are they'll say great, and that won't be the case. you need right now, a mentor, you need guidance, you need someone or some group that will say to you, you know, look, no, that's not really how it is. That's like, no, you don't sound as good as you think, or, you know, it doesn't groove, or it doesn't, you know, or it doesn't feel like this or feel like that. So you can go back to step two and keep fine tuning it. And that's how you're really going to accelerate your growth. And then with those three steps, when this is over and you have to get back to the real world, and no longer will you have all the time in the world, you will have had explosive transformation. And that's what I wish for everybody.
Man, very well said. And I think, just jumping off that last point of, it's a slippery slope of working in isolation, like you said, because you think that you may sound great, but you don't want to go and practice the wrong thing for 3 months and then go, oh boy, I practiced the wrong thing. So having those check-ins, where fortunately we live in a time now where you can connect with people for free via like Zoom or whatever the apps you want to use to video chat. And I think everyone's at home. That's the beauty. And I'm like cleaning up with interviews because everyone's at home and they can't escape me. So I'm like,
Right. I mean, well, that's the way it should be. You're doing exactly what is the best thing you could be doing. Is that that's one of your passions, is to have this podcast and through Drum History Podcast, bring, you know, these various people and subjects to the world, at no cost. And now the access that you have has grown substantially. And so you're taking advantage of it. And that's, you know, that's in every one scenario. I mean, it's easy to understand in your case, because you would have been at home or in a studio and isolated anyway, right? Yeah. But you're multiplying it because you see that now's a time where people are, you know, available to talk and it's easier to schedule, et cetera. Yeah. But the fact is that everybody in every field has a similar opportunity. You may have to go a little deeper to find it, and you may have to think a little harder, maybe even go outside the box, but you got to do it, because this is, you know, this is a one and done time period. And I'd like to see everybody make the most of it. I also did an Instagram post for anybody that wants a little more explanation on this on my at David Frangioni Instagram. And talk exactly about what you just asked me, which is, you know, what should people do right now in the stay home?
I saw it was great.
And you know, that's how people will grow.
I think it's cool too. And it's really across industries, but I like how right now people are like on like online lessons. Like the one that comes to mind is, I know Dan Bailey, who's a great, very, you know, predominant drummer, is releasing his like master course. I think he was like 66% off or something, because it's like everyone's at home. Use the content. Don't, you know, it's like a, let's bring down the price, let people actually buy it. Which I think is very noble. Now, that being said, I do see like Nike doing it and stuff, which, you know, that might be more like buy shoes, you know. It's not as like, you know, pure as a drummer doing it. But I think everyone has good intentions and is just trying to build each other up. I always say it, but the drumming community is very special, where be it you're a jazz drummer or a metal drummer, we all really want to help each other. So I think we're lucky to not be alone. We're all together through social
100%.
Media or whatever.
I mean, the drumming community is so connected and such a brotherhood and sisterhood. It's amazing. You know, that's another thing that I've always thought was so important about modern drummers, that it's as vital to the drumming community as anything could ever be, because that's what you're only a community when you're acting in the manner of a community. And in order to have that central place where everybody has, which really kind of dictates the community, it can't just be drummers scattered all over the world who love drums. It all has to be centralized to actually turn into the community we're referring to. And that's where Modern Drummer comes in. So I think, you know, between what everybody has to do at stay home and in that central place of Modern Drummer, listening to resources such as your podcast, and really taking a good hard look at what they're doing and how they can improve, this will turn into a moment in time that will change your life.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think it's important to say for people, like, you know, it's hard to do it, but really staying home, and I don't want to get political or anything at all because I'm not a political guy, but staying home really is very important because that's the only way to stop. I mean, people are dying. So it's really a very effective way. You literally, like everyone keeps saying it, but you just have to stay home. It's relatively easy. Just stay home and don't go out and don't see a bunch of people. So
well, I think I see most people doing that. But yeah, of course. I mean, that's 100% right.
Now, as we kind of get closer to the end here, I think it would be really neat. You yourself have a very interesting background. So you wrote the book Crash, which features tons of really cool drum sets. You've worked with major bands. So why don't you take a few minutes and just let people kind of meet the new, you know, CEO and publisher of Modern Drummer and tell us about you.
Well, David Frangione, my world actually started before I was born because my parents, who met right after my dad got out of World War II, their dream and goal was to have a family. And they ended up not being able to have children for over 15 years of from the beginning of their marriage on, for no reason. The doctors couldn't tell them why. Hmm. So they literally just kept trying to have kids and, you know, just were kind of accepting the fact that as I got older and older, that they may never have this family that they dreamt of. Then they had my brother, John, who's 3 years older than me. And he was like a miracle kid to them, like, wow, because the doctors couldn't explain why they couldn't have kids and they couldn't explain why they finally did have a kid. So this was like all just a big mystery. And then they had me and that's my family, my mom and dad, who are no longer with us, and my brother and myself. And when I was 2, I got diagnosed with retinoblastoma, which is cancer of the eye, and they weren't sure if I was going to live. So this whole idea of the family that they dreamt of was now being challenged that they could lose the younger son to cancer at age 2. So it was riveting, very traumatic, as you can imagine.
Yes.
I think losing a child at any age and under any circumstances is beyond comprehension in terms of sadness and trauma for any parent.
Yeah.
And they were no different. And I ended up having to have my right eye removed. So I've been blind in my right eye ever since. So I only really know and remember what it's like to see out of one eye. And that really formed my life from then on. I found drumming literally at that age. At the time, of course, I had no idea. Even as I got a little older, I always said I started playing the drums around 7 or 8 years old. But then I found pictures lit when my mom passed away in 2004. She was my best friend and closest person to me ever, and my inspiration, and really the reason we're on this podcast right now with credits and any kind of success. And when she passed away, I was going through photos that I had never seen before. And I was drumming at 18, 19 months and 2 years old. The photos were dated. It was unbelievable. Wow. It was right before my cancer. And then of course, right after. So I've been playing the drums literally my whole life in one form or another. At 8 years old, I started taking lessons. We couldn't afford a drum kit. So I was taking drum set lessons every week from a local public drummer, first in school and then from a guy at a music store. Mr. Woolley, and I was playing on phone books and pots and pans and tables to emulate a drum kit. And eventually I got a used drum kit. My parents saved up for a couple of years and I played the heck out of that thing and started playing in bands, started looking at how can I be the world's greatest drummer. I wanted to do something bigger in life than what surrounded me in my neighborhood, in my environment. It was a very limiting environment, very blue collar. People kind of stayed in the town and just, you know, kind of almost resigned in that area to like, okay, well, this is what it is. And I was such a rebel against that. I was like, no way, I'm going to do big things if it kills me. And I worked really hard to accomplish that. You know, I didn't just dream it. I actually did it, which I still do to this day, 14, 16 hour days on a regular basis, because that's how much time it takes to do it, you know? And so after 12, 13 years old playing gigs, I was starting to lead a band and I started to learn about booking gigs and started learning about business, which I, you know, had no idea I was really learning. All I was trying to do was get my band into different venues, clubs and whatever. But of course, with that comes agreements. You know, how much are we going to get? What's the set time? What's the load in? What's the load out? And all these things that I was just learning, all these cool things that I had no idea would serve me for my entire life. Found technology through drumming around 17 years old. I was searching for great drum sounds. Technology now, we're in the early to mid 80s, was starting to become very important to drumming. So that's what my first explorations consisted of, was like, okay, how do I trigger drums? How do I understand the basics of programming a drum machine? I ended up falling in love with technology as much or more as I did drumming. And what I saw as my technology career was really taking off, and it came very naturally to me, is I saw that, you know, I became a consultant, MIDI consultant, got a lot of clients, and I saw that, you know, wow, like, in this environment, I can contribute to music and take everything I've learned about music, and I can do it on a much bigger scale and a much more passionate and an interesting scale than I could even as a drummer. Because a lot of the bands and artists that I would dream of working with had a drummer, but they didn't have anybody helping them with technology. So it was just kind of a hand in glove fit. So I really pursued it. Then, you know, had a very successful MIDI consulting business before I was 20 years old. And again, through a lot of hard work from starting at zero. And then got the gig with Aerosmith. I was referred to them. And I came in to do one project for a week and never left. And then from there, started to work with a lot of other people, get a lot of referrals, have worked with a myriad of platinum record artists that have just made for an incredibly grateful career, you know, from Shakira to the Stones to Elton to Debbie Gibson to Ricky Martin to, you know, Styx, Journey. Of course, we mentioned Aerosmith, Ozzy Osbourne, Bryan Adams, Billy Joel, you know, it just goes on and on, the privileges I've had in terms of working with, getting called to work with great artists. And then I started a business called Audio One because my consulting, technology, all those areas were really growing. I was doing different projects, drum sample CDs with East West that were very successful. And I had to form a company because I was getting asked to build a lot of studios. Some people even credit me with building the first home studio, which I have no idea if that's true or not. It's a great credit if it is.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be cool. But I was getting a lot of calls to build studios and put systems together. So I had to form a company. I had to scale it bigger than me. So I started Audio One, which has been in business now for over 25 years, turned into one of the top companies in the world for building recording studios, home theaters, and large scale home automation systems. And then I started ProToolsTraining.com, which has been a very successful environment, teaching people all around the world for Pro Tools and certification through Avid. And I started All Access IDA, which is Inspire and Develop Artists, which is an artist development program that's been very successful. We have a label through Warner, as well as a great artist development program. Of course, I have Modern Drummer now and all of my side projects in addition to these companies. And I have Frangioni Media, which is the consulting arm where we consult, we work on new product ideas, we do high-level business consulting and artist consulting. We work on more commercial-based projects where we'll do entire facilities and you know, acoustic designs, etc. So all of this fits together. And you know, here I am with a career now that spanned well over 30 years. And I've been fortunate enough to receive, you know, over 70 gold and platinum records and have a lot of you know, a lot of artist relations that, you know, just been an amazing, amazing educational ride.
Wow.
It's still going strong. Thank God.
That's just the case in point of just, you know, it's an example of don't do one thing. Obviously you can do one thing great, but do a bunch of stuff, you know, and just, and see what happens. I'm sure I would be surprised if you hadn't had some things that you tried that maybe didn't succeed and you say, I learned from that and then moved on. Everyone does.
Well, that's without a doubt, Bart. I mean, you know, we're talking about the highlight reel of the things that have been great. You know, we could have a whole nother show on the failures, maybe two shows. and you also mentioned Crash, the world's greatest drum kit. So in the middle of these other projects, I also have authored three books all bestsellers. The first one's Clint Eastwood Icon, published in 2009. They've all been published by Insight Editions, which is a fantastic publishing company. They do Harry Potter and Batman, and they're wonderful. And then they published my second book, which is Clint Eastwood Icon Revised and Expanded Edition in 2018, which is still out there doing great. And then my third book, Crash, the World's Greatest Drum Kit. So the Clint Eastwood books are all about Clint's films, his art. They were done in collaboration with Clint. And anybody who's into action movies, Westerns, or anything Clint Eastwood, or anything movie posters and memorabilia, if you're a collector, you're going to love Clint Eastwood Icon. That book is a coffee table book. It's amazing. Crash is also for the collector or for anybody who loves drums. As you mentioned, there's all these pictures of iconic drum kits. It's part of my foundation, Frangioni Foundation. Text drums to 707070, and you can donate to Frangioni Foundation, which at all times we're helping musicians and kids who need it most. And Frangioni Foundation is, you know, has this incredible drum museum where all these drums reside. And the book contains, you know, it's a coffee table book, contains pictures and stories. Carmine Appice, Carl Palmer, Neil Peart, Alex Van Halen, you know, just on Buddy Rich, Louis Belson. The list goes on and on and on of Eric Singer. You know,
just iconic drum sets.
Iconic drummers, iconic drum kits. If you love drums, and I would think most of the people on this podcast do, listening, you got to get Crash, the World's Greatest Drum Kits. It's at Amazon, and it's done really well. And the feedback we've gotten has been extraordinary. We did the first printing, had a couple of mistakes in it that, they were, you know, they weren't the end of the world, but they were still mistakes. So we did a second printing because the first one sold out so quick. And we corrected those mistakes, which were a couple of text, a couple of typo things. And the book's just done really, really well, and I'm very proud of it. And, you know, I did it for drummers, and drummers are coming back to me saying, we love the book, and that's what matters.
That is what matters. It's cool just to, I just love that we can just look at pictures and read about drums from our heroes.
Yeah.
And,
isn't that cool?
I mean, it's just such a cool thing to be able to look through.
Thank you. I agree. You know, Bart, I made the book, all three books for that matter, that I want to read. And I figure I'm a pretty harsh critic of myself and of just creativity in general. Yeah, I learned that from Steven Tyler. You know, he's pretty intense about getting things right. And he was very nurturing in all those years we were in a studio together. And that rubbed off on me in a big way between my mother and Steven. That was a really, really prevailing mindset. And these books are the books I would want to read. They're books that I would, if I didn't write them, I'd have them on my coffee table and I would enjoy going through them as a fan of these subjects.
Yeah. And what you said about Steven Tyler and your mom, it just goes to show about that, the importance of the not working in isolation and having a mentorship and taking people's feedback, not getting your feelings hurt, grow from it, expand, and do the best work possible. So
I love it. You're absolutely right. Well said.
Awesome. Well, David, thank you so much for sharing all of this amazing information with us. And I'm really excited about the future of Modern Drummer. I just think it's so cool that it's been around for so long and there's no end in sight. I mean, it is just getting better and better and bigger. And yeah, and I'm sure what you're going to do is just going to be amazing.
Well, thank you, Bart. You know, we brought my drum teacher, Don Femularo, who's one of the most famous drum educators in the world. Yeah. We brought him on as head of global education for Modern Drummer. And I want to thank him for introducing the two of us.
Absolutely. And also, thank you for doing
The contributions he's going to continue to make to Modern Drummer. Thank you for the support. Thank you, everybody listening, for the support. ModernDrummer.com. As Bart said, you know, we're 43 years strong, but the best is yet to come. And I'm very grateful for all your support. And everybody, just stay home. If we're past this, when you listen, you take the principles that we learned during Stay Home and apply them. They'll be applicable forever. And I wish everybody the best.
Awesome. Thank you. David Frangioni, everyone. I really appreciate you being on the show.
Thank you.
If you like this podcast, find me on social media at Drum History and please share, rate, and leave a review. And let me know topics that you would like to learn about in the future. Until next time, keep on learning. This is a Gwyn Sound podcast.